It's the Go Gopher Podcast with Mike Grimm, episode number 118. I am Mike Grimm, voice of the Golden Gophers, and welcome back to the podcast. This week, we welcome back to the show Gopher defensive line coach Winston Delatabadir. He joined us last summer right after being hired by his college coach P.J. Fleck to coach up front with the Gophers. Winston was a popular former Gopher player, and he's killing it on the recruiting trail this cycle. We'll ask him about that. We'll see what he thinks of spring ball as it just wrapped up this week. We'll ask him how he became a contestant on Password on national TV, and so much more. You're going to love the return visit from Winston Delatabadir. Our Go Gopher podcast is presented by alumni-owned Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. If you're a business founder planning to exit your business, start by contacting Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. Sunbelt serves more businesses up to $5 million in revenue than anyone, and True North M&A serves companies with revenues up to $150 million. Get a confidential, no-cost, no-obligation business valuation started today. Make the most of your life's work. Visit SunbeltMinnesota.com or TNMA.com today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union is also a big sponsor of the Go Gopher podcast. Life math is complicated, and Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union makes it easier with local financial experts available to help in person or virtually. You can go to AffinityPlus.org/GoGophers for more info. We're podcasting episode 118 from the Aquarius Home Services studio. We invite you to subscribe to the Go Gopher podcast. It's free to do so. You can also go back and listen to the Go Gopher podcast from previous weeks. Last episode, for example, we talked with former Gopher quarterback Ricky Foggy, who is now the head coach of the Arena Football's Minnesota Myth. They open the season this coming weekend, so you can go back and listen to that and get a nice preview. Ricky always delivers, and he has some great Gopher memories in our podcast as well. This week, we continue talking Golden Gopher football with rising coaching star Winston Delatabadir. He'll join me next.
I'm Clay Geary, walk-on turned scholarship wide receiver for Gopher football.
And I'm Ben Utek, U of M alumni, Super Bowl champion, and Tony Dungy Uncommon Award winner.
We understand championship culture, which is why we're part of the True North family of companies.
True North invests in only elite teams, like the champion team at Sunbelt Business Advisors, Minnesota's largest seller of companies. To learn more about True North and our diverse family of independently owned companies, visit TrueNorthEquityPartners.com.
Beta Bay Boat Club offers a limited number of season-long memberships in our private club and half-day or full-day pontoon boat rentals on Lake Minnetonka. Members have the opportunity to play on luxurious pontoon boats, as well as a variety of well-appointed deck boats, speed boats, and offshore boats. Our daily pontoon boats are deluxe, custom-built boats with many amenities and comfortable seating for up to 14 people. Beta Bay Boat Club, Country Club Boating, 24 years in business and voted Minnesota's best 3 years in a row. Please visit us at betabayboatclub.com for more information. We look forward to welcoming you this summer.
It's episode 118. We welcome back to the podcast Winston Delatabadir, Baltimore, Maryland, defensive line coach. And since the last time he was on this podcast, he's got a promotion, assistant head coach.
No question.
How about that?
I mean, it's been awesome. It happens. I'm in the room with Coach Fleck, and right before I walk out of the door, I'm thanking him, and we're talking and all that stuff. He's like, look at you. He's like, I remember you were 19 years old, just out there on that field running around. Now you're the assistant head coach at your alma mater. He was like, look at you. So it was a really cool mentor mentee father son type of moment for
that's
us.
That's awesome. You're 25?
26.
26, 26 year old man. Old. Now. Yeah. You, I know. You cross over 25, it's all downhill from here.
It's over.
That's pretty cool though. Think about that. 26 year old assistant head coach, as you mentioned, at your alma mater. I know you were a part of this 35 under 35. Was it a conference or summit
of
some sort?
Yeah. So it's the AFCA 35 under 35, and all the coaches go down for the convention. I got a chance to be in there and meet kind of like what they call the next generation of great minds of football. So we sat in, we talked about agents, we talked about NIL, we talked about all the new things that were kind of like paving the landscape of college football. And I got to be around some guys who are going to be soaring in this profession for years to come.
Yeah. How valuable was that? That was what, in December?
That was in January. I believe. Yeah, that was huge. Yeah. It was huge. And Coach Fleck was like a full proponent of go, 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 gain the knowledge, get better. bring things back, because that makes you not only grow as a coach, but that makes us continuously competitive as a program as well. So you want to gain information, right, and be information gatherers, but also you want to grow in your own right too.
Yeah, it was 35, I assume then 35 coaches all under 35 that got picked.
Yep.
You could have been 25 under 25 or close to it.
I could have been 25 under 25 by a couple of days, 15 days.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it was super cool, and I was one of the younger guys, but I'm bald, so everybody's thinking I'm
you're an old man.
Not, I'm old, man. But I was one of the younger guys, so I was in there just taking it all in, because yeah. It was cool. A lot of guys that I've looked up to in the coaching profession were in the room, so I was very humbled and appreciative.
Yeah, that's great. And I think we had you on, it would have been last spring, maybe it was in February. You got hired in January of 23.
Yep.
So let's say that was 13 months ago, 14 months ago. What have you learned? What have you, as a coach here, now I know you're at Oregon, you were at Akron, you had experience, you're a player. What was the first year in Big Ten football like for you as a defensive line coach?
It taught me this. The best teachers understand that they're never done learning. And every day when Coach Fleck brings that big notepad full of notes in from practice, and it could be a walkthrough, but on the table, and he's like, all right, let's go through practice. And he'll have every little thing all the way down to, I remember one practice, he was like, Winston, you were third getting over to your drill. JLR passed you and Anthony passed you. He was like, I don't like that. So I'm like, okay.
He was watching this on film?
He was watching it in person.
Oh, live.
And
okay.
He's writing it down.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't like that. If you're going to run the position group a certain type of way, like you told me you aspire to, you need to beat them to the drills until you can't run anymore. So the next practice, I tightened up my cleats a little bit tighter, because I guess I got a little tired that day. We're going to let the other guy get tired. And now all my guys, they heard about it. So all my guys are like attempting to beat me to every drill.
Let's
so we're full speed.
Everywhere.
Oh my gosh. It's crazy, and my hamstrings feel it every day. But it's been great. A true teacher never stops learning. So continuously forging your sword as a teacher is a really huge thing.
I mean, even that thing might sound small, but small details can add up to wins or whatever. I mean, I'm just thinking as you were describing that, and I asked the question in general. I didn't know what your answer would be to start. So with that, my immediate follow-up is that is almost genius. You think about it, it has created a little competition within the competition of practice. You guys are now in your own little race to drills. One, it speeds up reps. It speeds up the pace of the practice.
It does.
But two, you got this competitive juice flowing just on something like that, right?
You do.
So it's got to be helpful. I would never have, as a coach, thought that would probably trigger what it triggered.
No question. And the guys in the room, they love each other. And I love them, they love me, but they love each other more importantly. So when you got guys like elbowing each other and like pulling on each other, I'm like, okay, guys, calm down. Nobody needs
no
to get
injuries.
Hurt, right? But they're pushing on each other and moving each other out of the way. It's super fun. But, you know, I got to make sure my butt's first.
Yeah, you got to win that race for sure. What are some other things? Maybe in terms of game preparation, maybe in terms of techniques that you're teaching, were there some other things that over the course of the year, okay, this works better maybe than I thought it would, or this is exactly, I was exactly on the money with this, and we're going to keep going with this?
Right. I think that two things, and Coach Fleck mentioned this to all of us. He said, never lose your fastball, right? He's like, always believe in your fastball. You got to this level coaching, right, because you were an elite coach. Now, do the things that are creative, that are passionate, that make you an elite coach. So I think that trusting yourself was another thing that I learned, but also that organization rules all. Throughout game weeks, I mean, you play Iowa, you play Nebraska, you play Purdue. You've got to make sure that, okay, you can also game plan against these guys while getting your guys better week by week. So what are we deficient in, but also what are our opponents deficient in, so I'm able to go ahead and make sure that we can take every opportunity, you know, in stride. So never losing my fastball. I am who I am, but I can also grow and be creative, but also being organized in everything that I do, which I struggle with sometimes, and I put certain people in place to keep me organized and on track. But an elite leader always knows his deficiencies.
Yeah. Well, when you're the assistant head coach, you got people now.
Well, no, not necessarily. And that was the funniest thing in the world. Everybody, every time I would say something, guys were like, okay, we need to listen to him. He's the assistant head coach. I'm like, guys, please stop it. So, no, that was really cool because, being able to have that moment where we introduced each other again and ourselves as a staff kind of got reassembled. And I said, assistant head coach, I did my best to say it as fast as possible and under my breath, and I mumbled it. And Coach Fleck was like, what was that? I don't think they heard it. I said it again, and everybody, you know, we knocked for each other. So they knocked in the staff room, and all the guys were screaming when I introduced myself as the assistant head coach in the team room. It was an awesome moment.
Now, you also were, I forget the title. I should have looked this up. I don't have it written down here. What was it? The new guy?
Newcomer coordinator.
Is that still part of your role?
That is still part of my
newcomer
role.
Newcomer role.
So Coach Fleck asked, he said, do you want all three titles as your role? He said, or do you just want newcomer coordinator inferred? I said, Coach, I got it. I'll take the Young Bucks. It'll be inferred. So that is still something that I'm continuously doing. I'm actually going to meet with the guys coming up here soon. And then we'll be excited when we get a whole bunch of new guys after this portal cycle is over. So.
Yeah. And I'm going to ask you about recruiting and some other stuff here. We'll see obviously there's some details in terms of who you can talk about, but maybe more in general as we get later in the podcast. But I want to continue down the road of your time here as a coach now in this first year, and already a new defensive coordinator.
Yes.
So year one, you go through with Joe Rossi, who you played for.
Yes.
And now Corey Heatherman is the new guy. Joe has moved on within the Big Ten to go to Michigan State. And I'm sure because coaches live together, basically, right?
No doubt.
You spend more time at the office than at your house.
You do at home.
So, how much do you stay in touch at all? Or is it just tricky because now you're in the same conference, you're maybe recruiting the same kids with Joe? And two, what's it been like now to have a new guy overseeing the defense?
Yeah, Coach Rossi and I will always be in touch. That guy is the guy who coached me, and I love him. It's funny because now we don't talk about as much football.
Yeah.
So he'll call and he'll be like, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, I'm good. You know, like, it's just regular life stuff. Yep. I'm checking in on him and his sons and his wife, and they're making a transition.
Just a super family, right?
No doubt. And they got two big old dogs. I got one little dog at home. So, you know, I'm like, I called him actually to ask him if I should get another dog or not.
Little playmate
No doubt. And he's like, okay, well, when are you getting it? Because if you get it in season, it's not your dog. It's your wife's dog. He was like, so just understand you won't be around to teach it, and then when you come home, the puppy's going to be like, who is this guy? So, you know, we talk about all those little things, but the transition has been wonderful. You know, you're running the same system. You got Coach Heatherman who's coming in. He's intense, right? He's tactical. He's detailed, but he's personable, right? And that's one thing him and Coach Rossi had in common was I think they know the guys that they have on staff, and the staff loves each other. And when you have that, you have very powerful, right, ties, and that makes the guys understand, okay, if our staff likes each other and loves each other, we've got to do the same thing. So that brings the defense even closer together.
Yeah. How would you describe Corey Heatherman's style?
He's excited, but it's not excited like bouncing off the walls excited.
Yeah.
It's excited like Conor McGregor walking into a UFC fight. Like, and it's not boastful, but you just know he might knock you out.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that's going to be the thing that makes us a little bit different this year is you're going to have their OC or whoever on offense looking across at Corey, and Coach Heatherman might just be staring back at them into their soul. And you just know that he's gonna come out, and we're going to come out swinging. So it's going to be a fun year on defense for the Gophers.
Yeah, he does. And just in the observation, I was at a couple of practices here over the spring period. Just he does carry himself with a certain cachet on the field. Like when he says something, you can tell guys are paying attention. You can tell it's important. He's making a point, it looked like to me.
No question. And the guys have continued to value the details like we always have, but it's been turned up and cranked up a notch. And what Corey does really well is while he leads his meetings, he always sets the standard right away. It comes back to the standard. Hey, it's excitement, it's swarm, it's violence. And if it's not those three things, then it's dead wrong. And I love that because the standard is a standard.
Yeah. Strategically or schematically, I'm not going to ask you to give away what we might see on August the 29th against North Carolina. Your head coach might take that assistant head coach title away if you give away too much, because I know that there is some mystery to, hey, how much will things change? And that can be an advantage for you guys. So,
right.
So I set that up this way, just to, you mentioned there might be a few different things. I'm not, again, not asking you to, you know, reveal everything, but what are maybe some subtle things? I mean, do you think, you know, schematically it'll be, I've heard a couple of the guys we've interviewed here in the spring say simpler, but yet I've also heard some people say, well, there's more sub packages potentially. So
right.
I don't know what simpler means and what complicated means, and again, don't give away too much. I don't want to get you in trouble, but what do you think we can expect to
well,
see
no
by the
doubt.
Time fall rolls around?
I don't think that there's too much to give away. I think that the guys are just able to play faster, and I think that's what it is at the end of the day. Like I said, same exact system, right? But the guys were able to kind of let it loose because we might have switched the verbiage up for certain techniques or different things like that. So you'll see a lot of things similar to last fall, right? Because we're running the same exact system, but the guys are going to let it loose. So if I could describe the style or the subtle change, I would say confrontational defense. Like, and I say this the best way possible, right? Legally on the field, however we're supposed to do it. It's kind of like just walking down the street and knocking somebody out. That's the type of defense that we want to play.
Yeah, your big brother showing up and helping, and We got a fist fight, we're going to win it,
and it doesn't matter if it takes nine quarters, we're going to keep on swinging.
Yeah, all right, very good. Now, spring ball, 15 practices, it's a key time, right? Because there are some newcomers, there are some guys that are sitting out, so some guys that might be depth pieces, or maybe all of a sudden a guy gets a shot and it shocks you,
no doubt.
Now this guy, we thought he was a depth piece, we're going to have to get him in, you know? So how has it looked for you in these 15 practices on defense specifically?
It's been awesome. And I think a big thing that Coach Fleck has talked about, right, is bringing the floor up. Like, we want the young guys to be able to execute the system, to go out and play with attention to detail, right, within the fundamental, plugged into the scheme, under the pressure of the situation. So for those guys to be able to go out and play legitimate football, right, when it's time for the season to roll around, that's going to help the older guys elevate their game and be able to go ahead and get better week by week as this thing rolls around. So bringing up the floor, right, and then continuously raising the ceiling. Okay, young guy, you got a sack. Now what's next? Go get two more. Go get three more. Go get five sacks. And that's where, if you ask the D-line, like, is Coach Debo, is Coach Delatabudere ever satisfied? I am literally never satisfied. It is a necton mentality in that D-line room, so we're always attacking and we're never full. So when you watch these young guys fly around, that's who spring ball was for. Yes, Ja Joyner is going to get better in his pass rush. Yes, Devin Eastern's hands are going to continuously improve. But you watch Martin Owusu get off the ball and strike. You watch Theo Randall go ahead and work a cross chop and have everybody oohing and aahing. Yeah. It's really, really cool to watch the young guys move around. You got Stalski out there violently making plays. Like, you got Z making plays. Like, it's been crazy all spring.
What, with your level of enthusiasm and energy, how does that work with your group? Do they feed off that, I would assume? Because you're obviously an emotional, you coach with great emotion.
No doubt. I think that before you can take it to another level of emotion, your guys have to know who you are. So last year, and it didn't take forever, but last year that was everybody kind of like dating. Mm-hmm. Like, we got to know each other. Like, spring ball was kind of tough. We had growing pains. Even some guys in the room, I could tell that they didn't know each other as much, and I kind of pushed them into getting to know each other. So in season, like, it's like the room was dating and we got closer.
Yeah.
Now it's like we're married, like we're ready to roll and we're going. So they know who I am. They know what I bring to the table from an emotion and a passion standpoint, but I have to still catch them off guard. So yesterday we went through practice. It wasn't anything crazy. It was a normal practice day for us, but I walked in and I was like, man, I'm inspired. And they were looking at me like, what the heck is going on? I'm like, I'm inspired today. I was like, Luther McCoy, I'm inspired to watch you play ball. Like, Devin Easton, I'm inspired to watch you play. Carter Mins, I'm inspired to watch you play. And these guys were like, what the heck is going on? Like, why are you so inspired? I told them I'm inspired because I have breath in my lungs. Like, God woke me up this morning. I'm inspired. So they're like, Coach is crazy. But we love each other at the end of the day. And they understand, okay, when they see Coach having a certain type of mentality or energy, I've got to match that. And if I don't match that, I'm dead wrong.
Yeah.
So they definitely rise to the occasion, but I'm pushing that trained behavior, right, to become elite instinct.
And then how much, too, is there, like you mentioned yesterday, that not that that was unexpected, but just to keep stuff fresh over the course of a spring period that's 5 weeks long, and I'm sure by the end, I'm not saying the guys don't want to practice ever, but I'm sure by the end there's a breath of relief for those guys. Okay, we got our 15 practices in. Now it's strength and conditioning. You got summer school to start in June. I guess I got to finish this semester up. All that stuff.
Right.
How do you try to keep it fresh? I know PJ's big on that too.
Huge. Something that I do in every single meeting is I start the meeting with a different video clip. And it doesn't matter how much time we have for meeting, whether it's 2 hours or whether it's 37 minutes. I'll start with a video clip that is directly attached to whatever team meeting that we have from Coach Fleck. So if we have it and it's about pole position and we're going to go ahead and we're pushing ourselves to be better, like we came in and we talked about the Indy 500 one day, and the guys probably weren't expecting this, but I had Shake and Bake ready on the screen for Talladega Nights. And I'm like, this is how it needs to be pass rushing. It's like somebody needs to shake it, somebody needs to bake it. And they watched the scene where it's like slingshot engage, and they went ahead and rolled. So they were laughing and excited.
Yeah.
But other days, like I'll show, and I tweet them out all the time, like I'll show a lot of Kill Bill clips because like at the end of the day, we call ourselves the dojo, and everything's about that consistency. So yes, it gets monotonous. Yes, it gets hard. But if you can't break through that wooden board with your hand, then obviously you're not punching hard enough and you're not punching enough. So 15 practices, you should want 16, 17, or 18 because, I mean, time is your greatest enemy.
Yeah, right. No doubt. Now, the fine line, you mentioned Necton mentality. You want to keep pushing guys. If you get one sack, get another. If you, you know, I'm just going to make a number up. You bench press 320, go figure out a way to bench press 340.
No
whatever.
Doubt.
How is the balancing act, or maybe the tightrope you walk between making sure guys continue to push, but also then give them the accolades to feel good about what they've done?
Right.
Because I think sometimes, right, if you just continually say it's not enough, a guy might just say, well, screw this.
It's not enough ever. That's what they, yeah, and you know what? I'm going to be honest. Sometimes they give me that look like it's not enough ever. And I think that a great way to be able to kind of take yourself out of it is to understand, for at least me, when you were a player, having that push and then having that give as well.
Yeah.
I'll never forget this. And Coach Fleck probably doesn't even know that I valued this as like a key memory when I was a player. The Northwestern game was one of my worst games responsibility-wise. But in the first drive, I make this tackle where I'm probably not even supposed to be in the realm of the running back's mind, but I sprint from the other side of the formation after being held, and the offensive lineman jumps on my back, and I accelerate my feet, dive, and make the play. So all Saturday night, because I played so bad, we still won the game, mind you, all Saturday night I played so bad, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like, I'm going to get in trouble tomorrow, like I'm nervous, you know, I'm anxious, because I did want to play at an elite level, and I didn't like making mistakes. And instead of showing any of my mistakes, Coach Fleck, probably knowing what kind of kid I was, and, you know, I was going to be harder on myself than anybody could be on me, he shows that play and starts the team meeting with that play. And my total perspective on the entire Sunday shifted, because I'm like, holy crap, he noticed right. the good thing that I did.
Yeah.
On Saturday.
And
versus
that play
the bad
exemplifies
thing.
The whole program.
No doubt.
Right? That's
no
all
doubt.
What Row the Boat is about. You're wiped out of the play. A lot of guys wouldn't, I'm not saying a lot of Gophers, maybe,
right.
but a lot of other players might not even.
Correct.
And that was it.
That was it. So
that emboldened you.
That it made me feel like, okay, I can. And I think the next week we went on to play Wisconsin. So it wasn't a week to sit there and beat myself up, or even a 24 hours to beat myself up. We got to get ready to go. But I do that same thing with the guys, and I watch every portion and part of practice. So from Indy to even when they run off the field in small little clips and segments, and I'll find something elite that they did, and I'll make sure I show them some love, because at the end of the day, like, we're the last buffer for these kids before they go out into the real world.
Yeah.
So I'm their parent, or whether they want to look at me like an uncle or a big brother right before they go and they get the blunt force of the world coming straight at their face. Yeah. So I've got to teach them good and bad.
All right, let me talk about a sponsor real quick here. We're with Winston DeLotta Badir. It's episode 118. Affinity Plus is your local credit union, proudly serving Minnesota since 1930. If you're a current Gopher student or a proud Gopher alum, you are eligible to join this financial that wants to build a meaningful banking relationship and put you first. You can meet with a local employee at any of their branches statewide, including one here near campus, right on University in Minneapolis. You can learn more and find other ways to connect, affinityplus.org/gogophers. That's affinityplus.org/gogophers. They have an award-winning mobile app. They are awesome people, an awesome company, service to the community. They support Gopher athletics. They have some NIL situations with some Gopher student athletes. They do the they help with Special Olympics, one of the main helpers that way. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA. They always did the polar plunge. We're getting out of that season now. Thank goodness it's a little warm, but those polar plunges were helped organized by our great folks at Affinity Plus. So we want to tip our cap to them here, as we always do. Winston DeLotta Badir is with us. We have talked a lot about a lot of stuff recruiting. I know you can talk generically, maybe yet with this new world and new age, maybe not specific on some of these new guys that if Gopher fans are diehards or even casuals, they're going to read about. They know that there's some excitement building and some excitement and everything else. So how has it gone in your mind? I know you're busy. We're recording Wednesday. You're back on the road tomorrow to go
back on the road
find
tomorrow.
Some future Gophers.
No question. Was on the road this morning, back on the road tomorrow. I think the biggest thing while you're recruiting is you want to make sure that you're extremely detailed in your evaluations. So whether it be transfer portal, whether it be high school guys, we don't like letting anything slip under our noses that we don't know about. These guys that are going to be coming into the program, most likely, you know, we want to add length, we want to add speed, and we want to add good people. And I think at the end of the day, if they fit the row the boat culture and they're about doing things the right way, academically, athletically, socially, and spiritually, then they're going to be very, very successful here, which I already know that they are going to fit the culture academically, athletically, socially, and spiritually in the right way. So Gopher fans, we have some very, very exciting and fun names hopefully to be adding here soon, but we can't get too specific. Just we appreciate your support and your excitement from the outside.
People who know you know how you go about your business. People who may be listening to you maybe for the first time on this podcast, we're now, 23 minutes into this thing, are going to be like, God, that's an impressive guy. How much does... I mean, that's the whole key to recruiting, right? Is establishing relationships, developing a commitment. How much of that is part of what you are?
Yeah, well, I think that the biggest thing and the most important thing is to be yourself 100% as soon as you meet somebody, because they're either going to really love it or they're not going to like it. And I think Coach Fleck does an excellent job of saying, like, I'm not for everybody. Well, guess what? I'm not for everybody either. So my excitement, my passion for living, you know, the way that I carry myself, certain guys are going to love it and cling to it, and certain guys are going to detest it. And if they detest that, you know, that's okay. They just might need to go and play somewhere else because I've been through the program, now coaching in it and playing in it, and you have to love your entire life to be here. And if you don't love your entire life, that's okay. You'll get to that point, but it might be somewhere else. So going through that whole deal, I often take my mind back to when my mom and I and my dad had came up here on my official visit. When I meet with parents, I always go back and I'm like, well, what would my mom have wanted to know?
Sure.
Or what would my dad have wanted to know? Where he didn't ask too many questions, but he was just like, cool, let's get the ball rolling and get him a helmet.
Yeah.
But those are the things that I kind of look at. And then being an older brother, when they have siblings and different things like that, whether they're younger or older, I love to include everybody in the family, grandma, grandpa. And I always tell them, ask me a hard question. Ask me a really hard question that you've asked somebody else that you want a legit and true answer to.
Yeah.
So I think honesty is the best policy that way.
And then you get set. And in the way the PJ has this program set up, my observation, as someone who's around it, I'm not an insider, but I'm around it and I see it and I like the approach, is that you get enough guys. It's probably hard to get 100% buy-in on 105 guys. However, if that number is 93%, that's better than 70%.
Correct.
40%. And as you're here longer, some of that sifts itself out. Like if a guy comes in, sometimes a guy enters a portal and everyone's like, what's going on over there? Well, it just didn't fit.
Correct.
He'll find somewhere else. And you want a guy who's going to fit. And if you have 95% buy-in, 99, and obviously you'd love 100, the team's just going to be better.
Right.
Right?
Right.
I mean, at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, you want everybody rolling in the right direction. We talked about one word, and it's been an echoing word in our program for, I think, probably a calendar year now, and that word was alignment. And I will never forget it. Coach Fleck drew up a spine in the staff room. And then, of course, you got the guys who are like, well, a spine is curved sometimes, so you want to draw it like this. So we argued over how to draw a spine. But anyway, everybody gets the point.
Yeah.
You're drawing a spine that's straight, and it goes back to everybody being able to sit in that boat and row in the same direction. And if you can get 100% of the guys rowing in the same direction, boy, that's a dangerous team. Now, one thing that we don't like is we don't want guys to be here and be unhappy
right. Because
they don't love their entire lives. So we look to lead them as future fathers, as future, brothers and brother-in-laws or sons or whatever they are, just to get them and put them in the right direction. But some guys want to go closer to home, or some guys have many different reasons why they transfer. It's just not always, grr, that place is bad.
Right.
It didn't fit and it didn't work out. And we leave things off in a really, really good note where, hey, if you need anything, right, hey, I'll always be here after you exhaust your eligibility to be able to communicate. So you look at guys who might have transferred out for their last year. I'll give you an example, Malcolm Robinson. And he transferred out, and this guy is now over there killing it at Pitt as a defensive line GA. And Coach Flex, like, dude, whenever you want to come back to learn anything, hey, our doors are open for you. So there's that loving relationship in the future after guys finish playing and exhausting their eligibility.
Right. Yeah, and it's – look, if you got most of your roster on the same page, and I think history is – this is true with this program, you're going to beat everyone that's not as talented as you, or almost everyone. And
right.
That if you look at PJ's record, he's lost, what, one non-conference game, two non-conference games in his whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to do that. And then you have the ability to then pull off some wins against teams that might be more talented. But if you're on the same page, like you say, rowing together, then that's where special stuff happens.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
All right. Let me ask you about quarterback pressure, quarterback sacks. Last year when we talked at this time, that was a big emphasis. Still a big emphasis. And one thing I've noticed, Big Ten offenses now, they release the ball so fast, it's
hard to get
sacks.
They get rid of that ball so fast. Big Ten quarterbacks, if you can hear me, hold the ball for another second and a half. Thank you so much. No, I'm kidding. So the big emphasis for us, and when I came in here, it was quarterback pressures, quarterback sacks. Well, we rephrased that. And you can hear Ja talk about it. And you can hear Strigow talk about it. Danny, it's not even about sacks. It's about just affecting the quarterback. I told these guys, I'm like, man, if you can blow on the quarterback's right arm and make the ball trajectory just go a little bit to the left to where Justin Wally can go ahead and pick that thing off, like, that's what we want to happen. So if we can affect the quarterback the best way possible, whether it's hits, whether it's batted down balls, whether it's even saying boo and making them jump, then I'll take it. The sacks will be the byproduct of you affecting the quarterback in the correct manner within the scheme of the defense. So sacks and pressures, the stats will be the stats. I'm not worried about the stats. It's about affecting the quarterback so our defense can be successful and in turn getting the ball back to our offense.
Yeah, no doubt. And I mean, I don't want to get specific with one guy because you've got a lot of really talented guys. I mean, Devin Eastern looks like he's on the verge of really breaking out. I thought he finished strong last year. Anthony Smith's got so much ability now. Is it, you know, what are we going to see late in the year? Last year, I thought he had some impact. But I do want to ask you about Jaw because he is such a violent player, and he was in the backfield often. I mean, he was getting held often, right? I mean, that guy should have drawn 50 holding penalties last year.
No doubt. But I get on him really heavy, but I'll let you finish.
Well, I was just going to ask, what are your hopes for him?
This year, I want Ja to be able to diagnose, analyze, and play the game faster. And I've gotten this question a lot this offseason, and guys are like, well, how many sacks do you think he can get? I don't even care about any of that stuff. I want him to be able to execute the scheme of the defense, to play fast. I want him to be tactical with his hands, and I want him to let it loose. And I feel like he did let it loose at points last year, but then if you watch the totality of the film and all the games, you can see him maybe guess right here, or you can see him maybe hesitate right here. Well, this dude is very, very gifted. And I give him a lot of love, but I'm also very, very hard on him because I think that people that you care about, that's the relationship you need to have with them. And I told him yesterday, and we were in practice, I looked him in his eyes and I said, dude, I will not let up on you. And I said, I don't care. I said, you think I'm going to take a deep breath? I'm like, you got the right one, buddy, because I'm not letting up. So he knows he can't. Kind of sneak away with anything with me. So he's embraced that. This offseason, that's I've seen great. A lot of growth from
good
him.
Kid, man,
no
right?
doubt. Yeah. No doubt. He's going to be a leader this year.
Yeah.
He will. And Ja's been quiet. And if you ask probably Asezi or Boye, you know, if they thought Ja was going to be a leader in his last year or second to last year or what so have you, they probably would have said no. But I would have said the same thing about Big O, and I would have said the same thing about Boye when I was older. So you watched 17 this year, and the biggest thing I'm excited for is his leadership and his growth in the room.
Yeah, I can't wait. All right, last question, because you have much more important things to do. You got recruits, you've got schematics, you've got meetings. Password. You're on Password. So one, I have to watch it yet. I saw the Twitter highlights, so I haven't watched the full show. I'm guessing I can find it somewhere.
You definitely can.
On the world of the internet.
Peacock.
How did it come about?
Yeah, so my wife went ahead and somebody DM'd her, or she DM'd somebody, and basically, it came down to she was like, hey, like, I need you to get on Zoom and play Password. And I was like, okay. I'm like, this is probably a scam, but I'll get on Zoom with these random people and I'll play Password. So I play a couple of rounds, and I'm very competitive in everything that I do. Monopoly, Zoom, Spades, it doesn't matter. Like I'll go ahead, and if I see 12-year-old girls playing Double Dutch in the street, and I'll get in there and I'm going to be like, guys, I'm never leaving the middle of this circle. So I'm just competing. So I go ahead and I win a lot. So I get this call one day, and they're like, hey, this is the producer from NBC and Password. Do you mind getting on a Zoom? And I'm like, yeah, sure. I'll get on Zoom for your quote unquote password. Like, I don't believe it. So I set my phone up in a hotel room, and I'm on the road recruiting. I'm done for the day. It's probably about 9 p.m. in California. I think it's like 7 or 6, depending on where I was. And all of a sudden, it's 20 people on the Zoom, and it's just me with the entire cast and producers and sound people and all those people from Password. And I'm like, holy crap, this is real. So I get on. They ask me about my entire life. They ask me about football. And they're like, cool, when can you come to California? And the first thought that came to my mind is, oh, my gosh, we're about to play this season. Like, I don't have any time. So I said July or bust. And they were like, okay, well, we'll see if we can do it in July. It might have to be June. Does June work? I'm like, no, doesn't work. And I said late July, doesn't work going into the season. All of a sudden, everybody goes on strike. So they go on strike, and they're emailing me once a month, and they're like, we're going to try to get you out this day. They finally email me over and they say, hey, does this day work? And it was the day after the Wisconsin game. So I go up to Coach Fleck, and I'm like, all right. They say don't tell anybody, but I have to tell Coach Fleck. So I tell Coach Fleck, I'm like, hey, I'm going to be on TV. And he starts dying laughing. He's like, what? And I'm like, I'm going to be on TV. He's like, where? What show? I tell him Password. He's like, if I let you go, you better win.
Yeah.
So the day after Wisconsin, I fly out to California, and I compete with all of these people to actually get on the show. And I almost don't make it because they say that I was too competitive and mean for television. So after I go ahead and get all the way through, I'm on there with Jimmy Kimmel, Jimmy Fallon, and Kiki. And I'm sorry to spoil this, everybody on here, but I lost.
The highlights I saw, though, you had some great clues and some good guesses.
No doubt. I come back in the second round to win it, and me and the lady who I'm playing against, and I'm so glad that she ended up getting some money, right? She's from Philly, I think, so shout out Philly. She goes ahead and she wins it in sudden death. But what nobody knows is we played Password against each other three times backstage, and she had beat me every single game in sudden death. And I'm like, listen, if I go out on national TV, I'm taking myself out. She's not taking me out. So I guessed, and I was thinking WWE, and it was Gladiator, and my mind was all tangled, and I was like, oh, well, here it goes. I'm losing, so I'm getting ready to lose.
Yeah.
And I pressed the button, and I don't know the answer. I just guess and get it wrong.
That was it. Well, you went out on your terms.
I did. I went out on my terms. But Coach Fleck played in the team meet, and all the guys were giving me crap. But it was so cool. I got to shout out the U of M, and you know, say Row the Boat on national TV. So that was awesome.
We can find it on Peacock.
On Peacock, on YouTube.
Okay.
So you'll be able to find it on there.
Yeah, I saw the highlights. I gotta make some time now as well. I'm gonna watch it. You know, on our flagship station, the Common Man has his Password on Friday.
Yeah.
Maybe you and I can partner up. Let's go into the studio sometime.
Oh, we'll go win
it. We'll try to win that.
We'll go win that thing.
All
right,
deal?
Now,
if they call you, you tell them I'm your guy.
I'll tell them you're my guy.
It's the only way I can get on the radio.
Yeah, wait, look, I'm going to get you on there. We're going to do it. It was funny because I think that they were going to go with a football player, football coach episode. So I called Antoine Winfield, and he actually got interviewed by them too. But I think they switched what they were going to do last minute. So it was going to be me playing against Antoine, Gopher fan. Would have liked that a little bit.
All right, we'll have to watch that. All right, we have to let you go because you've got a lot of good things. It was awesome. It's always great to catch up. I would say have a relaxing time, but with Portal and NIL and everything else, there's never time to rest for you poor guys.
No relaxing. All we're going to do is go row, baby. Let's go attack this road all May.
Thanks so much.
I appreciate you, brother.
Winston De La Badir, episode 118.
My thanks to the great Winston De La Badir III for being my guest on this week's Go Gopher podcast. I hope you enjoyed listening to that conversation as much as I enjoyed being a part of it. What a guy, and so easy to like, with a bright future. Episode 118 is presented by Sunbelt Business Advisors and True North Mergers and Acquisitions. If you're buying or selling a business, visit sunbeltminnesota.com or tnma.com. We're also partnered with Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union, a locally member-owned full-service financial invested in you. You can learn more at affinityplus.org/gogophers. affinityplus.org/gogophers. Again, I'd invite you to listen to past podcasts, and please be sure to subscribe to the Go Gopher podcast right now. It's absolutely free to listen and free to subscribe. And please share the link to the podcast with others so they can subscribe and listen as well. We'll talk again next week. We'll be right back.